This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning and welcome to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Sue Tabb. Thanks for joining our conversation this morning. Today's guest is pretty special. Rosemary Porto is an award-winning interior designer. She is an aspiring author. She is a mother, a wife, and a three-time cancer survivor. She is with us today to share her amazing story, her successes, her challenges, and her always positive outlook on life and the opportunities before you. Good morning, Rosemary.
Well, good morning, Sue and Kendra.
I want to start, Rosemary, by giving our listeners a little background on you. You recently retired after a very long and distinguished 35-year career as a kitchen and bath designer. Most recently, for Pog and Paul, you've been inducted into the New England Designer Hall of Fame. You received all kinds of awards. You're going to be featured, this is exciting, in the Boston Home Magazine, the fall issue, which is coming out, I believe, next month. Talk a little bit about what drew you to this type of work.
Well, the first room I ever decorated, I was 10 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a really true story. And I've just always been interested in interiors and artifacts and things like that. My father was an artist, and he was older. He was 47 when I was born, so we played with art. You know, he wasn't around throwing the ball or anything like that in those days.
And right.
So we used to play with paint and art books. And he recognized when I was around 11 years old that I had a color memory, which he tested me, and I remembered colors, and I can remember colors exactly, you know, just from my memory. And so he told me when I was a little girl that I should always use that in my career when I grow up. And I was first attracted to fashion and interior design. So I applied to FIT, the Fashion Institute of Technology. And I decided to go into fashion, but I took courses in interior design. And so I spent a career, believe it or not, most people don't know this about me, but I was in the fashion business for about 12 years.
Oh.
And yeah, I the last job I had, I was a vice president of sales and marketing for a fashion shoe company in New England.
And when, Rosemary, did you then jump off into actual home interior design and home design?
Yeah. In 1985, I decided to leave that career because I was traveling all the time, and I left it to go back to school. I audited classes in creative writing at Boston College, and I got a part-time job working for a mail order business, a high-end comforter business, and she needed somebody to do decorating, and so she hired me. And that's how it started. It's a very humble starting, and I kind of went in through the back door, and my very first clients were was Thomas Dunlay, the American Impressionist.
Oh.
And I worked with he and his wife. Yeah, and what a kickoff, you know, and they encouraged me to start my own business, and I did. And that was in 1986, and I had it for until I decided to, I got bored doing decorating. And so I decided to go work for Pog and Paul when they came to Boston. I opened up their showroom in 2002.
Wow.
And then I became a specialist in kitchens, and really a subspecialty, because I only did European contemporary kitchens.
You did the really high-end stuff. So
yes, it's all luxury market, yes.
Luxury market. See, I couldn't afford you, Rosemary. So give us the scoop. Any well-known clients or local celebs that you worked with?
Actually, yes. Back in, when was it, 2006 and 7, I worked with Tom Brady on his condo building over on Beacon Street. He sold it and everything.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I worked with him. I did his, he had seen a, the thing is, the way it came to me, it's kind of a funny story. I got a call from these interior designers that they had a celebrity client who asked to work, for them to work with me. And they wouldn't tell me who it was. And so I thought, okay. And they said, you have to be very discreet, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, you know, got a checkbook, I'm good, you know?
Yeah, and you're like, so, oh, yeah, I've got this. I'm not going to be all, you know, starstruck
so, yeah,
or anything.
What happened is I worked on the project 6 months before I knew who it was.
Really?
And, yes. And the way he came to, the way he sent them is, I knew this, but I didn't remember it, is that, he lived at the Burge Mansion on Commonwealth Avenue, and I worked with an architectural firm on his neighbors on the next floor. And he saw what I had done there, and he liked it so much. So that's why he sent them to me. They were reluctant. They didn't want to work with me, but we got through it. And he was, without a doubt, the most charming, polite, lovely man.
Even though he left us, Rosemary, and he went down south.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wish him luck because he deserves it.
He does. He gave us a lot of good years. So what are we going to say about that? But I want to ask.
And I worked with some other, you know, I worked with people. I don't want to really name them, but all I'll say is this, that around Boston, there are buildings at the hospital and in the city that have names on the buildings. And I've worked with those people.
That's very cool. I love it. Hey, you're considered one of the most recognized and honored designers in the New England area, but you decided to retire this past March, and you were pretty much at the top of your game by really anyone's standards. Why was it the time for you to retire?
Well, you know, I've been working on my novel since 2014, and I study with a fantastic author. Her name is Connie Mae Fowler. She's published 8 books. One of her books called Before Women Had Wings was she worked with Oprah on a miniseries, and they actually won an Emmy for it. So I started working with her, and I really, you know, my passion throughout these years has been writing fiction. And so I was diagnosed, most people don't know this, but I have my cancer story, but my most recent cancer story started last November. I was diagnosed with bladder cancer. And so I was, you know, working my little tail off with my job, and this was last November.
Yeah.
And I was exhausted physically because I was traveling. I had to go to Wyoming. It was for a job. And I woke up one morning and I said, how many times does a girl need to have a cancer diagnosis before she decides to follow her bliss?
Right. Because let's backtrack a little bit. This was not your first your first bout with cancer. This was your third bout with cancer, you know, over the course of a couple of decades, but still your third bout with cancer. So you finally thought, you know, I think you even said this, every day is a gift and you can't take it for granted. So is that the point at which you thought, well, I need to go chase this other passion I have?
Yes. I decided that, you know, what makes me happy, what brings me bliss, and not that my career didn't, it really did, but I just think it's time, you know, the shift in my direction and the shift in my attention was really towards learning. I love to learn, you know, I'm always a student. And so I was learning so much in the, you know, all the conferences and retreats and studying with really amazing authors. And through Connie, you know, I've met some very successful and very gifted writers who are teachers, you know. And I just decided the time was now. It really was a hard decision, believe me.
Yeah.
You know, because I felt very loyal to my clients, very loyal to the company. And also, you know, walking away from a community that supported me through many things. You know, because Boston has a very strong interior design community, fantastic mm-hmm. one. And I was a really, you know, part of that. And, you know, I was on the boards of our professional associations. I was the president of one of them for a few years. And so it was a hard decision.
Yeah.
But I think I've come up with a way that I'm going to keep it all together. And I can tell you about that later. But so that's really what made me finally pull the plug and say I'm going to do this.
Yeah, and I want to talk about your support system, even outside of the design community in Boston and beyond. How important are the people mm-hmm. around you and the attitude you have as you go through treatment and recovery for other people maybe who are listening who might be facing a similar journey and saying, wow, how can she be so upbeat? I think the support that you have around you is so important, and your attitude, right?
Mm-hmm. It's very important. I mean, there's been clinical studies about that, you know, how a person's attitude and their support, you know, love heals. It heals.
Yeah.
And I've been very supported. I mean, in my family, of course, you know, even going back, if we want to go back to 1991, when I was first diagnosed with breast cancer. I was 40 years old. I had just turned 40, and I had found my lump.
Yep.
And my son was 3.
Wow.
And, yeah. And at that time, my former husband, my ex-husband, was just amazing to me. And his mother, who just recently passed, and I loved her so much. And my Aunt Rita, who came up, she was a nurse and retired nurse. She was like in her 70s. And she came up and took care of me. My best friend, also a nurse, came from Brooklyn and took care of us, I should say, because I had that 3-year-old. I mean, it was like, you know, mommy's going bald. I had to explain it to him.
Right.
Know?
And that is so hard. And you need your family more than ever at that time.
It's really true. And, yeah. And one of the things I just, you know, I'm an optimist. I am. But I'm also a realist. And I recognized how serious this was back then. My mother died from breast cancer when I was 23.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
Yeah. And so anyway, so that support system was in place and fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Now we fast forward to 2017 through a routine, my annual mammogram. They found something that wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same breast. And so they had, you know, I knew what was ahead of me. And so the support system then, of course, my husband, Mike, who is my, you know, my biggest cheerleader, and my brother and sister-in-law and best friend came and rallied. And I couldn't have done it literally without them. It was a very challenging, physically and emotionally hard time.
If you're just tuning in. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. Today we're talking with Rosemary Porto. She is an award-winning interior designer and aspiring author, a 3-time cancer survivor. She's been sharing her story with us, her success, challenges, and her vision for her next chapter. Let's get back to our conversation. We talk about your writing, and you're working on your first novel. I'd imagine that two things. One is that the creative part of your work as a designer probably influences your writing, the creative piece of that. And also, is it cathartic when you write in terms of getting through this time, the cancer treatments and all of that? Does the writing, is it therapeutic in a way?
Yes, it is. Well, and right now, you know, the first time I went through my cancer back in 91, I kept a journal, and I was in a writing workshop at the time. And they allow, you know, they would encourage me to bring my journal writings and to it. And so when it was over, I created a memoir based on my things, and I used it during my 10 years with the Beth Israel heart-to-heart, patient-to-patient volunteer program.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, so now with writing fiction and writing the story back in, 2018, and while I was in treatment and on, I escape into my world of my characters and my story. And so that does help me because it gets me, it's like I'm out of my head and I'm into this world.
And you've been working on that story, Rosemary, for a few years now. What can you tell us about the novel, and when do you hope to have it finished?
That's the million-dollar question.
finished.
I guess it's going to be finished when it's finished.
Yeah, exactly, when the story ends.
when it's polished and right. It takes years to write a good novel, really. The story is just about a single mother we call her an unwed mother in 1923, who decides she wants to follow her dream of being in stardom, whether dancing or acting. And she runs away from her farm and raises her daughter in the world of burlesque and speakeasies, and until she's upstaged by a famous person. Her name was Sally Rand. I guess you might call it historical. Then she marries a man, but she gets bored in her rich life, and she runs away with another man to Hollywood.
Oh, wow. That sounds really good. I'll buy it. I'll read it.
Oh, thank you.
I want to talk about another new direction you took later in life, which was a new marriage. After a 20-year marriage ended in divorce, 10 years later, you say you found love again. Talk about that time in your life.
Well, yeah, that's a good one. I was single for 10 years. I dated, I played tennis and I belonged to a tennis club and I had a lot of social life, a wonderful social life. And just when I was really comfortable being single.
Isn't that the way it always happens? Just when you're not looking.
Truth, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so a friend of mine said, I met a guy, he's perfect for you. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Heard that one before.
Yeah. So the next week we went on a double date. And I met Mike, and I fell in love with him, and he fell in love with me within a few days.
Wow!
And that was, it's really true. It was it. I don't know how it's it. I don't know how that but I knew, and he knew. And then 3 months later, he had a stroke.
Oh my God! 3 months after you met, or after you married?
No, after we met. Yeah. So that's when I really saw the real character of the man, because I fell in love with the man who's he was a deputy sheriff on his motorcycle in his uniform with those custom boots. Oh baby,
Oh, the man in the uniform. We all know that one.
Yeah, and then I really saw the man who he is and how he was. Just very similar to me in many ways, in that he's a real positive attitude. He had to learn to walk again. He had to learn to speak again. I mean, it was really challenging.
Yeah. And he's a friend of the station. We know Mike a little bit, your husband, and he is that guy. He's a great, great guy. So how lucky he was to have you and vice versa, right?
Yeah, well, there are no, I don't believe there are any coincidences or accidents in life. I think that it was all planned, that because of the way we fell in love, it was this connection that wasn't like anything really I've ever had before, including, my former marriage. And my friends at the time were like, Rosemary, your life is so great. What are you doing going to Spalding every day? and they cared about me. They loved me. I asked myself every day that I would go, I'd say, why are you going? I asked myself, I was being honest with myself.
Yeah.
And the answer was, because I'd rather be with him this way than to not be with him at all.
Right.
And then he, you know, got himself up, I mean, out of the wheelchair in a few months, unbelievable. And then we got engaged, and then we got married the next year.
That's unbelievable. And it's funny because now he's your biggest, you know, one of your biggest supporters as you go through your cancer journey. So you've really been each other's rock in that way. Do you, Rosemary, have a mantra that you live by or a quote that you like to refer to as you go through life?
Well, yeah, I do in a way. I mean, I really believe today is the only day, you know, it's the only one. Mm-hmm. And so if like, think about it this way, if you're going through a tough time, you know, and I've been through a few, I just think, okay, just today, mm-hmm. we'll just get through today. You know, tomorrow will be better. We'll get through today. So, and that helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, if it's a fabulous day and a wonderful day, I think we'll just cherish this day because it's the only day. And that's really how I kind of go through things. Yeah.
Yeah. And I always think of that, you know, tomorrow is not promised. And so you need to live for today. It's promised to no one, really. Yeah.
It really isn't. And, you know, it's kind of cliche in a way, but it's really true. And there's always a lot of truth to cliches, you know, but I just think that that's it. And, you know, we haven't talked about my son. And he's 31 now and he lives in Austin, Texas. And, you know, he was my reason for getting well back when he was 3. And now I wanted to see him through, you know, his adulthood.
Of course. Yeah.
You know,
of course.
And as an example to show him, too, because, you know, our divorce, his father is his father. You know, we have a very happy divorce in a way now. It was heartbreaking. I'm not going to say it wasn't.
Right.
But we've created a relationship. He's remarried to a wonderful woman. They have 2 little children who are part of my life. They call me Auntie.
That's fabulous that you came through mm-hmm. that like that on the other side with everybody being so close. And what a great example to your son, right?
Well, that's right. And that's why I brought it up because it's very important, I think. And also, you know, in a marriage, it takes 2 to make a marriage, right? And it takes 2 to break a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of forgiveness that needs to be done. Self-forgiveness and forgiveness for the other party. And I think that there's a freedom in forgiveness.
You're right. That's a good point.
Yeah, there really is. And so we've created this, we call it the tribe. You know, it's his family, that family and our family, and it's a big tribe.
Yeah. And that's great. And it's a little bit of a blended, a mixed, but it doesn't matter. You know, there's ties and there's love and there's affection, and that's what's important. We only have a couple minutes left, Rosemary. Just fast forward 5 years for me quickly and tell me, where do you think you'll be in 5 years? Where do you hope to be?
Oh, my goodness. That's, you know, can I just dream for a minute? I hope to be published in my first novel, having it a success.
Having it be on the New York Times. Having it be on the New York Times bestseller list?
Oh, that's such a lofty dream, but yes.
Why not?
And, yeah, and then working on my second novel and just being healthy.
Cancer-free.
Yes.
Well, you know what? It has been our pleasure to talk to you. We're already out of time. Can you believe how fast this goes by? I'm telling you, when we have exceptional women, the time goes by in the blink of an eye. And I have to just say to our listeners, the first thing you said to me is, I feel a little funny because I don't know how, you know, I'm considered exceptional. And I was like, no, those are the most exceptional women, the ones that don't recognize how exceptional they are. So thank you for spending time with us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much. And we just put it out to the universe and hope it all comes true.
Yes, I think that it will. You put it out there, it will happen. Thank you so much, Rosemary.
Thank you, Sue. Thanks, Kendra. Have a great day.
Designer, author, and cancer survivor Rosemary Porter has been our guest on Exceptional Women this morning. We applaud you for past successes. We are inspired by the way you face your current challenges, and we are hopeful that you will continue to flourish in your new adventure as an author. We wish you continued good health and happiness in all your pursuits. You are truly exceptional, and we thank you for sharing so much of your story with us today. You've been listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. It is our honor and privilege to shine a light on the change makers and to provide a platform for people who are out doing meaningful work in our communities. Thank you for paying attention and for helping us create engaging programming. We'd love to hear from you if you know someone who is making a difference. Just email us or send us a message on our Magic Facebook page. I'm Sue Tabb, and along with my co-host and producer, Kendra Petroni, we'd like you to join us every Sunday morning at 7:30 for another edition of Exceptional Women. Have a great Sunday, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.